States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to be hearing from the Volunteer of the Year, Roz Kintzler, as well as the Youth Volunteer of the Year, Rebecca Mangari. And later on, Jeremy Steinberg has a tip for us. But we begin with an item of news regarding the 2015 U.S. Dressage Championships, which will be held in Wellington, Florida, from December the 9th through the 12th. A total of 20 riders and 26 horses will be competing. There'll be a big and small tour championship running over three rounds, of which the three added scores will determine the podium places. 15 Grand Prix riders and 9 small tour combinations have confirmed their entry, also known as the Festival of Champions this year. The 2015 championships will be judged by Gary Rockwell, Linda Zhang, Hans Christian Matheson, Peter Holler, and Christoph Umbach. For a complete list of competitors, please visit the Dressage High Performance page at usef.org and watch it live on the USEF Network's live stream from the event. And as the 2015 Adequan USDF Annual Convention gets underway in Las Vegas, Nevada this week, there'll be two awards for volunteers. The first of those is the Volunteer of the Year Award, which recognizes a USDF member who, through consistent and cumulative volunteer activities, has demonstrated exceptional commitment towards carrying out USDF's mission. Roz Kintzler serves as chair of the USEF Youth Programs Committee, as well as a member of the USDF FEI Junior Young Rider and Historical Recognition Committees, and the USDF Activities Council. As chair of the Youth Programs Committee, she has been instrumental in the creation of many youth programs. Both regionally and locally, Roz has introduced dressage to countless grassroots riders, as well as volunteering innumerable hours with local dressage groups, 4-H clubs, and United States Pony Clubs. Roz, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, first of all, congratulations. The USDF Volunteer of the Year. How does that feel?
It's quite remarkable. I mean, I was astonished and really quite humbled by it because really, honestly, I think there's a lot of people that deserve it way more than I do. But I'm quite honored.
Well, clearly this is something that you've spent a lifetime contributing to the sport as a volunteer. But let's begin a little bit with your background, Roz, and how you got into the sport of dressage.
Well, I am from New York City originally and always had to fight to ride because my folks thought a horse was a colossal waste of money. And, you know, I got into it through Pony Club and then through college riding. And I used to ride hunters and jumpers, but the dressage fascinated me. And the more I got involved in it, my husband and I moved to Michigan and I saw Chuck Grant ride and I was hooked. That was it. I was on it. And so I've come up through the ranks that way, and it's still, the sport itself is the coolest thing. I mean, there's always more to learn. As long as I've been doing it, I'm still learning. And it just draws me in all the time.
Tell us a little bit about what you do now in the sport. You know, you have a couple of horses, you help a para rider. Just talk us through what Roz Kintzler does in the sport on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I have a client base here in Michigan. I love teaching. I have to say I like teaching as much as riding, so my business is balanced that way. I ride generally 3 or 4 a day and teach a few lessons a day and do some mini clinics. And my riders are all levels, all abilities. I do have a para rider who's quite competitive. And now at the moment I have a good horse myself, so I'm back in the show ring again. And last year, on a customer's horse, I got to ride in the dressage finals. And I hate to say I'm old enough, but I rode in the last head-to-head that was in Kansas City, and that was a big goal of mine to do it again now that we have one. It was really important. But day-to-day, it's riding and just enjoying the sport even that much more.
So what would you say would be your career highlights so far, Roz?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to say. Certainly riding at the finals is a huge thing for me, but also my para rider going to London as a team member for the Paralympics, and then just at this previous national finals that we just had a week or so ago, I had a longtime student of mine on a homebred horse play seventh in the amateur St. George Championship. Those to me are really important things, that they've stayed with me a long time and earned that great reward.
Tell us about the start of it all, though, in terms of how you got involved with the USDF and what you got involved with at the beginning.
In the very beginning, our Region 2 director, Sue Hughes, had called me. She needed a regional coordinator for the FEI Junior section in my region, and I wasn't sure I wanted to do it, but I do like working with kids. So I had a rider on our Region 2 team when we were just young riders, not juniors, and I thought, well, I'll give it a try. And it was certainly quite a learning curve because I knew nothing about the program. You know, this isn't what my initial rider did. So I had to learn how it all worked and all the nuances of the job. And over time, the more involved I got, I also wound up, I'm also the chef de cuisine for our teams, and I have been for many years. And so I started that way, and that would have been, I want to say, like 1998 when I actually started volunteering. And the more I've done, the more involved I've gotten in it. It's a lot of fun and really rewarding to hear back from kids that have been on my Region 2 teams. But our Region 2 teams, I hear back from them. They're young professionals now, and the rewards are huge that way.
Well, obviously volunteering takes time, and you mentioned you're running a business as well, you know, riding yourself and teaching. So how did you decide to do that, and what did you want it to look like for you, Roz? And talk us a little bit about through how that evolved and during your career, really, as to what it is now.
Well, it is tricky. I have to be really honest with that. I've had to personally amend my teaching schedule a little bit for the Young Rider Championships and so on. And it's a bit of a balancing act. And, you know, also on a personal note, I'm married and my husband is not involved. So what I've learned to do is manage my time very carefully. And in that way, you know, it's during the day, it's all horses. I do what I'm going to do. On my day off is my day off. And that was hard to manage sometimes. But it certainly was worth it to me to do it that way. And now I've cut back my teaching load a little bit, so I have a little more personal time. And I try and, you know, I try and do the paperwork and so on in the early evenings, so I'm not trying to do everything all at once. But it's always a balancing act. On the other hand, it's well worth it, so that's how it goes.
Why is it then important to you, Roz, and you find the time to do it and what you get out of it?
Really why it's so important to me, I have gotten an incredible amount from the sport. I mean, I can't even really explain it or begin to. It's my way to return the favor. Is for all that I've taken from it and the places that I've been, the opportunities I've had, even things like traveling to Europe to buy horses, I never thought I would do something like that. So to volunteer like this is a way for me to return the favor, and if I can get somebody else to be as excited about it still, I mean, I've been in business for over 30 years, and I'm still excited about it. It's worth it to me to make that effort and see if I can pass that on to somebody.
Now, tell us about the roles that you've played as a volunteer, because there are so many things that you can do at a competition.
Oh, there's a ton of things you can do. Of course, I'm the Region 2 FEI Junior Young Rider Coordinator, and I like that job. Along with that, I've been the chef de cuisine for our teams. Just up until the last two teams, I had some help with it. Two other girls that chef for me, and so I do that. But I'm also now, this will be the third year, I've been the chair of USCS Youth Programs Committee. And that, in a way, is very near and dear to my heart, because that's for all the, this will sound bad when I say it, but normal youth that maybe have a quarter horse, or maybe they just have a backyard horse, and they're somewhat interested. And through the committee, I've been able to get some programs started that will draw them in and have them realize that you don't have to feel like you have to go to the Olympics to participate in the sport and enjoy it. Even if it's not, you're not going to stay as a dressage rider. But I have two students, for example, that are hunter riders, and I help them on the flat with their horses, and it's a nice way to bring them into the sport and enlarge our base.
Well, we all know that the sport depends so heavily on volunteers, Roz, and winning this award must mean an awful lot to you and be inspirational to especially young people who we're trying to encourage to become a volunteer. So what would you say to them?
I think it's really important to do. I think putting yourself there, I mean, we love our sponsors and we love the money they put into the sport, but it's also really important that you have a face with it. We all are role models, and you know, I think if you have any inclination at all to volunteer, it doesn't have to be in a big way, but it is so well worth it. You know, I hear, for example, I hear back all the time from and some people I didn't even know that I was influencing that, you know, they have questions about how they can run the business or if they're in the business, or even something as simple as looking for horses. So the paybacks are huge that they call and or touch base with me. You know, how are you and so on. It's well worth it.
Well, I know a lot of young people are often self-conscious about joining a group and getting involved if they feel that they don't have the expertise and the skills. How would you encourage them to start then, Roz?
I would say, you know, with USDF, you know, we do have those regional clinics, one in each region. Go watch one. You know, go meet some of the juniors in your area. And you'll find that not everybody, you don't need to be intimidated by what you perceive as your lack of ability. I kind of don't believe in that. I think the more juniors you meet, or go to your regional championships just as a spectator. See what it's all about. Watch some of the junior classes. There are regional championships for training level juniors. You don't have to have an FEI horse, and you don't have to have a fancy horse, or even observe the dressage seat equitation classes. That also, you can have just a good horse that you ride well and be a part of it that way, and don't worry so much about how good you are. That's sort of irrelevant. Just meet some of these other kids and see what they're doing, and I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. Or the youth team competitions is another great way to meet people and not feel like you need to be an FEI-level rider.
Well, I know you spend the winters in Florida, so anyone can come along and say hello and get advice from you whilst they're there. And I'm sure you will be doing a lot of volunteering during the winter too, won't you?
Absolutely. My door is always open. And, you know, horse people were hard to catch on the phone, but I'm always on my email. And I'm delighted to meet you and, you know, come on over. Never, ever be shy. Ever, ever.
Well, I'm bound to ask you, with all the things that you've done in the sport, Roz, what's on your bucket list now?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'd like to try and get this new horse qualified for finals next year, you know, for myself, on a selfish note. And who knows? You know, maybe he'll try for a national St. George championship. I don't know. That's the thing about this sport, is you never know where the next opportunity is or what it is. And all I know, the other nice thing about our sport is you can do it as long as you want. You're not going to peak when you're 15. It's the best. So I'm just looking for what the next exciting thing will be.
Well, one of the most exciting things will be, of course, when you receive this award at the USDF Adequan Annual Convention, Roz. I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
I am, but everybody that knows me knows that the spotlight is not my favorite spot. And as my George and Roberta Williams are very dear friends of mine, and he was very funny when he called. He said, well, the good news is you won't have to present the Youth Volunteer of the Year Award because Rebecca, who's a Region 2 girl, by the way, is in Germany. So you don't have to do that. The bad news is you still have to come up on stage. On the other hand, this is a great reason to do it. So I'm delighted.
Well, enjoy the moment. And once again, congratulations on being the 2015 USDF Volunteer of the Year.
Thank you so much. I very, very much appreciate it.
Our second award for volunteers is the Youth Volunteer of the Year Award, which honours one outstanding youth volunteer who has contributed both nationally and locally to USDF and to dressage in general. Rebecca Mingari has already served as a volunteer for many years. She dedicated numerous hours of volunteer service fundraising for the Region 2 Junior Young Rider Dressage Team, making goodie bags for all of the Junior Young Rider competitors during the regional championships, also organizing pizza parties for the competitors, and working diligently to keep them informed through social media. Rebecca also served on the Kentucky Dressage Association board as their junior and young rider representative. And Rebecca joins us now from Germany this week. Unfortunately, she won't be at the convention to receive her award because she's studying in Germany, but she joins us now. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on winning the USDF's Volunteer of the Year Award. That must feel pretty special for you. A career highlight, no doubt.
Yes, it definitely is. I'm so honored to have received it.
Well, unfortunately, you're not going to be there this week at the convention to receive the award. So we'll hear your story down the line, so to speak, because you're based in Germany right now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What is your dressage background then? Tell us a little bit about how you got into the sport, Rebecca.
So I began riding when I got it for a Christmas or a birthday present when I was 8. And so I started off riding Western. And the little barn I was at, like, I noticed the letters around the arena, and like, I asked my instructor, I said, well, what do those mean? And she said, those are for dressage. It's for, they do different things at each letter. So later on down, I moved away from my home. I was in Wisconsin when I started riding. And when I came to Kentucky, one of the barns that I looked at to start riding at, they said that they offered dressage. And I said, oh, I have to do this. I have to start. So I started riding dressage then when I was about 10 years old, and I fell in love with it. And so I've just progressed from there. And then when I was 14, I bought my current partner, Unico. And together we have gone from training level to intermediate one, competing together. And we've also been to medal seat finals for 3 years doing equitation. And then we were on the Region 2 North American Junior and Young Rider Championship team twice as a junior and once as a young rider. And then the last 2 years, we were also able to be invited to the Festival of Champions once as a junior and once as a young rider.
And which would be your GMO?
The Kentucky Dressage Association.
Okay, that is
an organ too.
Yes, you've got involved there, haven't you, in Kentucky? You've been very active in that, and you've actually been on the board. So tell us how that all came about then. Why were you enthusiastic about taking on such a role so young? And just tell everybody how old you are, Rebecca.
So I am 19 years old. A friend of mine was the youth chair, Tori Redemoza, for the Kentucky Dressage Association. And so in the beginning, she started introducing a few programs that she needed a little bit of help on. So with permission from the board, she got me as her assistant. And when she went off to college and graduated from the youth director position, I got to take on her role. And it's just been a really cool experience. I loved it just because I get to work with the youth every day. And it's been so exciting because everyone is like me. They have all these hopes and dreams of, you know, going to the Olympics one day. And it's just really exciting and inspiring for me to hear their stories and to be able to help them out.
You've enjoyed the fundraising part, though, and the organizing the parties. Is that something that you've just taken to because you're enthusiastic about working with youth in the U.S. Dressage Federation itself, or is it something that you do out of dressage?
Well, most of the fundraising that I've done has been for raising funds for the Region 2 North American Junior and Young Riders team. And so I started that And it just kind of grew into something bigger just because it became so much fun. And the way that we did it, we would normally sell like cupcakes and stuff like that for a donation price at one of the big shows. And it would just be really cool to see all of our coaches and our families get involved. And it was just a lot of fun. So I love fundraising.
Yeah, clearly you do. And you've been involved with the Junior Young Rider team at Region 2 there. And you know, lots of different organizations and, you know, different aspects of being involved as a volunteer. Which else do you appreciate and enjoy working with in terms of the programs at the USDF? Because I think it sends a message to young people to get involved, as you have done.
Well, so the programs of USDF, there are like a lot that I have been in. So I think it's really cool that they have the, I don't know if every region has this, but my region has a youth competition every year. And so the youth like form teams, and you don't have to be the same level, and you get to compete together, and they hand out different awards, such as like the Shining Star Award and things like that within the teams, and how the teams come together in youth competitions. And so I think that's a really cool thing to get involved in.
Now, obviously, you enjoy working with the youth, but what do you think have been the biggest benefits of being a volunteer generally with the USDF, Rebecca?
I think that the learning has been a huge part. So at most of the shows, you know, the youth usually scribe or run tests and or steward. And I think that scribing especially is very it's awesome because you get to watch the rides and hear what the judges have to say. It also, with any volunteering, you meet lots of different people, and people get to learn your work ethic, and they get to know a lot about you. And so it's not only like a way to network, but it's also a way to give back a little bit to dressage, because these competitions cannot run without their volunteers. And so for the youth, I feel like it's our opportunity and kind of our duty to keep dressage going as the sport, and it can't without the competitions.
Well, how would you advise them to get involved if they're listening to this and thinking, well, this would be fun? Hearing Rebecca, she sounds it makes it sound like it's really fun, and to get involved with all different kinds of programs here at the USDF. So how would you suggest they get started?
So it is actually very easy to get started. For me, I would always usually on the show bill, they have a volunteer manager or secretary that you can email. So I would always just look at my ride times and see if there are any huge gaps in which I can spend some time volunteering. And like even at certain events, if somebody just needs a little bit of help, if you just spare a few minutes, I mean, it makes a huge difference.
Well, you've certainly made a huge difference. Now, looking ahead to 2016, what will you be involved in?
2016. So I will be trying to qualify for the North American Junior Young Rider Championships as a young rider again. So I will definitely be involved in a lot of the fundraising, and two of my organizations that I'm very involved in, the Kentucky Dressage Association and the Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association, I will definitely be volunteering at their shows.
Well, one of the aspects of all of this these days is, of course, social media and how people can get engaged in that way. You enjoy that part of it, don't you?
Yeah, the social media part is super fun.
And what do you most enjoy about that? Is it the interaction and engaging with the people that you're helping in dressage?
Yes, I think it's super cool because I also follow people that I look up to, and so I can just kind of interact with them. And then if there's somebody that sends me like a message about a question, I get really excited about that because I get really excited helping people.
Wonderful. So they can find you where? On are you on Twitter as well?
I am on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter name is at R. Mingary, my last name.
Well, again, congratulations on winning the Volunteer of the Year for 2015, Rebecca, and we look forward to you continuing your involvement in dressage in the years ahead. Congratulations, and thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Jeremy Steinberg has our tip this week, and he joins us from California. Jeremy, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Shopping for young horses, not young horses, sorry, shopping for horses in general, what to look for, based on rider level and all of that. You know, when I was youth coach working for USCF, I always had worked with a lot of the kids and parents also of riders that were also riders, students of my own. Everywhere I went, people were always looking to buy horses. Everybody always wanted to find a deal. Everybody always wanted to find the next, you know, Olympic champion. People want to find sometimes just a nice riding horse. And I think it was always really important to me to sit down with the people that were looking, whether advanced rider, young rider, amateur rider, professional rider, and really go over what the goals were, what the price range is, and kind of finding a way that those two things could kind of line up and match. I think when it comes to horse shopping, I think there's just as an individual, there's a couple big things you have to look at. You have to look at what your goals are with your own riding. You have to look at what your resources are with the help that you have, the trainer that you have. And then you also have to look at your budget as far as what you can spend and what you're able to go out there and look at. I think the biggest thing that I'm always telling everybody is when it comes to horse shopping, and it doesn't matter what level, what stage you're at, what level the horse is at or anything, is you need to shop for temperament. Temperament is the one thing with the horses that really plays a major, major role in their trainability, I find more than anything else. So when it comes to any kind of temperamental issues, that you question when you're looking at horses or other people have had problems with, I always kind of draw red flags because the temperament issues tend to make things the most difficult when it comes to the training. That being said, when I look at horses, I think anytime I'm evaluating a horse, I look at three major things. One is the temperament, the other is the conformation, and the third is the movement. And those three variables really can kind of change the equation quite a bit. You can have horses that have exceptional temperaments, are not great movers, and maybe don't have an ideal conformation, but easily seem to get trained to Grand Prix because they have the right attitude for it. I've seen other horses that really have an amazing, amazing body type conformation-wise, really good movers, but a very poor attitude and end up being very difficult to train. So, like I said, the temperament is really the most important to me, but you do have to look at all three kind of as an equation to decide and understand, how you're going to work with them and what they're going to end up producing in the long run when it comes to work. I think when we're looking at more advanced riders, I'm always encouraging my more advanced riders to really shop for younger horses so they can kind of capitalize on the money that they're putting out. The less training any horse has in it, the less expensive it's going to be. The more training horses get, obviously, the more expensive they're going to get. So a lot of my professional riders and even young riders that are pretty talented and kind of moving their way up along the ranks, once they kind of have a basic feel for what they're needing to be looking for in the training on the horse, if they have supervision, a lot of times I'll also encourage them into younger horses and train them themselves and that they can get more bang for their dollar, like I said. When it comes to kind of an older rider that's just looking for something nice to sit on, when it comes to an amateur, when it comes to somebody that just wants to enjoy the sport and enjoy the process, I think they're in a position where they don't need to be spending a huge amount of money to go out and find a nice horse to ride. I think it's a bit of a myth in the dressage culture that you have to spend a lot of money to have a nice horse. You just need to really keep kind of an open mind about what you're looking at and where to look about finding something that has good training and a good temperament that you can really enjoy the process and the riding with. And it might not be something super fancy. It might not be a warm blood, but you can definitely find things that have good training in them and have good temperaments in that way that can make it really enjoyable to be on every day. I think when it comes to those top horses, you know, when riders are looking for something really outstanding and really up and running, it's really worth taking the time to kind of shop around and do, I think, on any level, if it's a green horse, or a trained horse, if it's an amateur horse we're looking for, or anything for that matter, you know, doing your due diligence and making sure you really do your background check, which is not just show records, but previous owners, handling the horses have had, nutrition the horses had, very thorough vet checks, and things like that, because I've heard so many stories over the last 20, 30 years of, you know, people buying horses and finding out later that they've had these horrible experiences or a colic surgery or something that they didn't know about when they purchased the horse. And once the horse is purchased in that way, there's not a lot of recourse we have as buyers. So it is really worth doing kind of your due diligence on making sure the information you're getting about the horse is all accurate and correct. I think that also comes to when you're shopping at, you know, sale barns with people that have a higher volume of sale horses, to really make sure, again, that you know those people, you trust them, they know you as a rider, they're not going to push a horse on you that's above your ability or have temperamental questions just to get the horse kind of moved off and out of their barn and the money in the bank for the seller and for themselves. I know a couple of very reputable people that sell horses, and I know some very some people that are not reputable about the way that they sell horses. And I think, you know, like I said, it's really up to the buyer themselves to make sure that they do their research and ask around about who the people are and how and why the horses are getting sold. I think the biggest thing overall with the horse shopping process is take your time. It can take quite a while to find the right match. You want to be with this horse for a long period of time. My horses, myself, my own horses are like my pets. I do sell them sometimes if they're not going to work out for me. It's a really hard decision and a really emotional one, but I can't afford to keep, you know, more than one or two horses going myself with paying board and doing all that. So it's a very hard process to go through when it comes to selling them. So it's really worth taking the time to make sure that the partner you're looking to buy is one that you're really willing and wanting to have for a nice long period of time with them. One other key player in the process is to also make sure, depending on where you live, you have access to the right help. I know plenty of people, riding-wise, quality-wise, that I would encourage to buy a young horse because they have the talent to train the horse, but they don't have the day-to-day help to kind of keep things on track. So there's plenty of riders, especially some of the kids that I worked with, the USEF, that I know for a fact could train a young horse up to the upper levels with weekly lessons and kind of day-to-day just, you know, guidance here and there. But because they're in more remote areas, I'm always encouraging them to stick to horses that are just a little bit more advanced so that they don't get into trouble themselves. That would be the same with a more amateur rider that's looking to maybe just have a horse for fun or maybe show and have a top horse. You have to look at the help you're getting and make sure that the horse that you're buying is one that your trainer wants to work with, likes working with, and is really, you know, capable working with. I had a scenario the other day, a friend wanted to buy a young horse, really liked the young horse. The trainer came out and just didn't get along with it, didn't like it. And they wanted me to come in and give a second opinion. And I just said, you know, I don't even need to try the horse. My opinion would be if this trainer that you're working with every day is struggling a bit with it, which happens, it's not the right horse, and to keep looking. There's plenty of horses in the world, and I know from my own experience and friends and students and everything, when you see a horse and you really want it, it's really hard to know that something else could come along in a few weeks, even if that one took a few months to find. There's always another horse out there to find. If you have any kind of gut feeling that isn't right, your information coming in isn't quite lining up, or the trainer has any questions, it's not worth getting in a situation where you're going to get hurt, the horse is going to have to be resold, the trainer's going to struggle, or you yourself are going to struggle with it. We want all this work with our horses to be fun and enjoyable, and it really does start, I think, with the buying process. So that's my advice on that.
Caveat emptor, as the saying goes.
Pardon me?
Caveat emptor, as the saying goes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much indeed. Jeremy, for that tip and for all your contribution to the USDF's podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the program.
You got it. I appreciate being here. Thank you.
And finally, the USDF would like to thank all of those who have spent their hours volunteering at shows and educational events in 2015. And if you would like to volunteer, you can contact your local show manager or your local GMO. The 2016 membership year has already started, so if you've not already done so, please remember to renew your USDF participating membership on the website at usdf.org. And those who renew by the end of the year will receive a $10 gift certificate from Dover Saladry, and only those members who renew by the 31st of December will receive the 2015 yearbook issue of USDF Connection magazine. All members who renew for 2016 will also enjoy savings with the USDF's Member Perks partners. And you can find out more about that program, again, by visiting the website at usdf.org, where you can also tune in to eTrack and find out all the latest resources on education in our USDF's Online Learning Center. And that's it for this week's program. Don't forget you can download this podcast to listen to it on the go from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.